This is Scott Parker, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and all over the world via the internet. I want to welcome you to my podcast. Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Well, thank God for today's podcast. I'm going to be speaking on overcoming the devil. I've been, evaluating my own walk and looking into what's holding me back, what I need to do to move forward. And everything has gone right back to this. You're going to have to fight the devil and overcome him. Let's go ahead and get started for today's podcast, Revelation 12:10. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Okay, that includes you. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power or the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, of course, that's the devil. We just read that. Verse 10. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Okay. Have you ever had a problem with guilt? And I'm focusing on that because I still haven't totally overcome it. And I'm talking to myself as well as others out there. We have to overcome the accuser of the brethren, the devil. We have to overcome the devil by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. Let's read verse 11 of the New Life Version. And they had power over him and won because of the blood of the Lamb and by telling what he had done for them. They did not love their lives, but were willing to die. Okay, so we overcome the devil through the gospel and the word of our testimony. And the word of our testimony is talking about what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Okay? So let me ask you this. Do you talk about what Jesus did on the cross for you? Do you speak Jesus died? He was buried and he rose again from the dead? Well, I encourage you to speak the gospel over and over. Okay? Turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. Now, salvation is an ongoing process. Let's look at that for a minute before I get to verse 10. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is not talking about a person making a decision to receive the Lord and be saved. This is written to believers. See, let's read that in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time that's accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. See, if you have religious tradition heart, you'll read right over that and think, oh, that's not talking to me. And you don't even realize that you can be set free more today and every day. You don't know it's an ongoing process. You just read it and say, well, I'm saved. See, today is the day of salvation. You can get some more salvation today. It's good to get a hold of that. Look at turn to Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. See, you can draw out salvation at any time just by getting in faith and mixing your faith with the gospel. See that? Any day, any time of the day, anywhere you're at, you can be praying and get in faith. In fact, every time, see, I've got this in my heart, so every time I get in faith, I start mixing with the gospel. Why? Because I know that at any given time, another yoke of bondage can be broken in me. At any given time, I can overcome another sin. And you know, sin is kind of like You know, that sin in us is like stripping off one layer of an onion at a time. And it's good to know this, because if you don't know this, you'll think, well, I prayed and I mixed faith and I thought I was overcome that sin, but there's more of it. Well, keep it up, because you can strip one layer off at a time and it'll get less and less that you have a problem with it. Okay, back to Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. This is talking about believing in your heart in the resurrection of Christ. You get into righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So see, this scripture is saying the same thing, where it says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, by believing in the resurrection of Christ and with our mouth we make confession, we overcome the devil by the blood of Jesus, that's the gospel, and the word of our testimony. Or confession is made unto salvation. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession. This is the confession of our faith, without wavering, without doubting, for he is faithful that promised. Go back to verse 16 in Hebrews 10. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts and their minds, and I'll write them, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, this is in the new covenant. Now, where remission of sins, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. See, we can go right in the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, this is what I'm pressing for. I don't know about you, but I am tired of fear and guilt. And I want to totally overcome it. And so I have to keep mixing faith with the gospel. Keep fighting the devil. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Okay? And the profession of faith is Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again. See, now, you need to get the word of God in your heart, and you need to talk about it. And as you talk about it, you'll be sowing it in your heart. Let's look at Psalm 45:1. I saw this years ago and I thought, wow, that's really cool. My heart, verse 1, my heart is indicted in a good manner. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. Now check this out. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Okay? What are you writing? The word of God. Where are you writing? In your heart. Okay? You can write the word of God on the tables of your own heart just by speaking it. That's what Psalm 45 is saying. Look at Proverbs 7:1. My son, keep my words. Let my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws, apple thine eye, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. See, you write the word of God in your heart by speaking it over and over. And as you get the word of God in your heart and believe it and speak it, you can overcome the devil. See, that's why I encourage everyone, read the word of God out loud. You put it in your heart, and especially the gospel, because that's how we overcome the devil. The devil's been judged and cast out through the death, burial, and resurrection. But why aren't people overcome? They don't have a revelation of the gospel. It hasn't become rhema in their heart and a living word in their heart. It's still a dead letter, because there's no revelation, no faith. But as you keep putting in your heart, it'll come alive. Faith will come. And as you speak it, you'll start overcoming the devil. Okay? Now, let me say this also. It takes strength to overcome the devil. It takes fervent prayers to overcome the devil. And that'll come as you get a revelation of the gospel as you believe it. You can't just say, okay, devil, leave me alone. Go now. That won't work. Wimpy prayers will not move the devil. You have to cast the devil out. You have to drive him away from you. Look at Mark 16:17, International Standard Version. These are the signs that will accompany those who believe. In my name shall they drive out demons. They speak in new language. They speak in new tongues. Okay. Now, this is talking about casting out devils out of a person. But you also have to cast or drive the devils away from you. Okay? 1 John 2, let's go there. Verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one, the devil. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Okay, so the Apostle John says the young men overcame the devil. And in the next verse, we see how they were able to overcome the devil. I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you. You've overcome the wicked one. Okay, so if these young men could overcome the wicked one, so can we. Okay, but you're going to have to get strong in your inward man and have the word of God in you to overcome the devil. Turn to James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, the word availeth means to prevail or overcome. Okay, you overcome evil spirits praying fervently. And you know, it says of a righteous man. A righteous man is one that's submitted to God, doing the will of God. See, you can't sit around and do your own thing, walk in the flesh, be living sin and think you're going to overcome the devil. You have to believe God. You have to walk with God. You have to, you know, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, as we're coming out of the slavery of sin, we still may have sins in our life till we overcome them all, and you could be overcoming the devil when you're walking after the Spirit, but you have to be making an ongoing effort to get in the Spirit, to walk after the Spirit. Okay. Let's talk about evil spirits and how they can bind you up, resist you from obeying God, and how they're at work trying to destroy you. First thing you need to see is the Word of God tells us we live in a world that is inhabited by evil spirits. Okay? Let's look at that. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out. Where? Into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Okay? He's cast out of heaven and he's cast in the earth. So Satan and his angels have been cast down to the earth, and Satan is called the God of this world. He's also called the Prince of the Power of the Air. Okay, turn to Ephesians 2:1. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the Prince of the Power of the Air. Okay, we all walk this way. We all walked according to the course of this world, and we were walking according to the prince of that power of the air. That's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Okay, so we've all walked there, among whom also we all had our conversation, our behavior in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Okay? So we can see the world is inhabited by evil spirits, and they deceive the whole world. We read that. And they lead every one of us around. Okay? Now, it's real easy to look at, you know, fornicators or drunks or thieves, people doing all these blatant sins that we can all see and say, oh, yeah, I can see the devil's leading them. But he's led every one of us. He leads us. Say you could have said, well, you refrained from fornication and waited till you got married and had a spouse to be with. Well, thank God you stayed away from stealing things. Some people, they won't steal things. Some people won't do this. But I'm telling you, it clearly says we were all led around by the prince of the power of the air. Whether it was just an unbelief or just self-willed or whatever, covetousness. You know, some people, they spend their whole life living just to make money. Money is their God. That's all they live for. They don't put God first place in their life. Their heart is not after God. Their heart is after money. And that's a whole other subject right there. But anyway, the point you need to understand is we were all led around by these spirits. We got to overcome them. Turn to Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, now this is talking to the people of God, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, so the devil's coming after all of us. Okay, so here it says we have to be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And some of you say, well, I've never known anything about evil spirits and I don't have any problem with the devil. Oh, yes, you do. You just don't know it. See, you were described, we just described Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, that you were led around by these spirits. And you didn't even know it. Did you know it? Did you? I never knew this when I was growing up. I was led around by the devil. I had to get my eyes open to see it. Well, even the people, even the ones like we used to talk about, you know, there were good kids and there were bad kids as we were growing up, you know. And the good kids would say, oh yeah, those are the bad kids over there. And they, and, you know, but the good kids were led around by the devil just like the bad kids. And, you know, so these spirits led every one of us around to one degree or another, depending on the condition of our hearts. And you can't get free from these spirits until you're brought to repentance and you wrestle with them and overcome them. Okay, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, why is it saying that? Because evil spirits will get a hold of people, and they've got a hold of all of us to one degree or another, and they'll cause you to trespass against people, and they'll get people to trespass against you, but you're not fighting with the people. You're not fighting flesh and blood. It's the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the dark world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah. So you're not wrestling with the people that say something offensive to you. You're wrestling with spirits that they walk in. So let's consider this. What happens if you don't wrestle with these spirits? Well, I'm going to tell you, because it's important you know this. The same thing will happen to you if you don't wrestle with evil spirits. Same thing will happen to you that happen to those that are in a physical wrestling match. Your opponent will pin you to the mat. If you don't wrestle with, you know, whatever spirits has got you or coming against you, then they'll just control you and lead you around. Did you know that you can clean up the outside of the cup? You can straighten your outward behavior and still be controlled by these spirits? You know, and you may not go out and do some of these, all these sins that everybody can recognize, but you're still walking in the wrong spirit. And you need to get your eyes open to this. You need to get your eyes open to this because you're going to have to learn to wrestle with spirits. And we're going to go into that a little more, but let's go ahead and take a break, put a song here. Let's do Wings of a Dove by Pamela Pontia.
When trouble surrounds us, when evil comes, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When things beset us, God doesn't forget us. He sends down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Jesus went down to the water that day, he was baptized in the usual way. And when it was done, God blessed his son. of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. A sign from above, on the wings of a dove.
Okay, let's talk about these spirits and their modes of action. Okay, first, they're supernatural. They have power, and they could consume you if God let them. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. Other translations say, may eat you. The devil can eat you alive if God let him. So don't think the devil could never bring harm to you. If a person continues to do things they know are wrong, then they become an open prey for the devil to attack them and bring them down. The only reason the devil doesn't bring you down now is because God's got a hedge about you. And did you know that sickness is an oppression of the devil? Acts 10:38, let's look at that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, healing them. They were sick, and the Lord had to heal them. And it says the reason they were sick is they were oppressed of the devil. Okay? For God was with him. Let's read that again. Now listen carefully. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So you say, according to this scripture, that the devil could devour you. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say that the devil could devour you? Or he could devour me with sickness, right? We just read it. There's another reason why you want to obey God. See, that's why it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You got to walk uprightly before God. You have to obey God. Now, God in his great mercy can keep a hedge about you, can protect you, and he has a lot of control of what goes on in the earth. But don't kid yourself. If you just continue to do your own thing, walk in rebellion, you're open prey. Okay, let's look at another mode of action of evil spirits. These spirits can put feelings on you in the form of emotions and make you think it's you. You know, I had one time I was visiting with a family member. They came over to my place, and after they left, I felt the strong urge to rebel against God. And I could discern it was an evil spirit resting upon me. And I began to bind that spirit. And I felt that spirit lift off the room. It was the wildest thing. And when that spirit lifted off the room, all that rebellion left me. See? So I knew I had an experience right there. That evil spirit sitting on me made me want to rebel. And if I hadn't resisted, that spirit would have led me to rebel against God. Now, according to Ephesians 2, there had to be some rebellion in my heart, because the devil will lead us according to the things in our heart. But the bottom line is, I had to resist that spirit to keep from rebelling. There are spirits of fear that'll rest upon you, and when they do, it'll make you afraid. There's spirits of guilt that'll rest upon you, make you feel guilty. And of course, any of these spirits could be in you. You know, there's spirits of hate, jealousy, covetousness, adultery, idolatry. In fact, there is an evil spirit with every sin that a person has. And to overcome these spirits, you have to get rid of that sin by mixing faith with the gospel. And then you have to mix faith with the gospel, and you have to keep your profession of faith out there, and you have to wrestle these spirits to overcome them. I'm sorting through these things, out in my own thinking, and I'm still learning, and because I'm looking for better results. And I go back, okay, why am I not moving forward better? Why am I not having better results? And, you know, I can see from the Word of God that we escape the trap of these spirits as we're brought to repentance, you know, from whatever sin we have. Let's take a look at that. 2 Timothy 2:24. Serve the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. God peradventure will give them repentance, acknowledging the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See? We can see we have to wrestle these spirits to keep them from ruling us, but I believe we also have to be brought to repentance. See, because we escape the trap of the devil as we're brought to repentance. And you know, that scripture right there told me there was a spirit with every sin. Because you're taken captive by a spirit, and as you are brought to repentance of each and every sin, you overcome a devil. All right? And so I do believe that we overcome the devil by being brought to repentance and also wrestling with it. It's a combination of that. Let's read Ephesians 6 again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. You say, what is an evil day? Well, when the devil's come against you, you'll know what that evil day is. You'll go, oh my God, will I ever get through this? I've had some evil days. And let me tell you, when they happen, you'll think life is over. It can get that bad. But you just have to stand and believe. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Okay, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but these spirits will cause the wicked to shoot bitter words at you in their fiery darts, and the shield of faith will quench those darts. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? So, you put on the whole armor of God, which is, you know, everything Jesus accomplished on the cross. Stand your ground against the devil. And then, you go on the offense and use the Word of God against the devil. You know, when you're in a fight, you not only have to hit your opponent, but you've got to be able to shield yourself from their punches. You know? And that's why it talks about the whole armor of God. See, but, you know, take these things that are written in the Word of God and take them over and break it down into something simple, something you have to, that people have to deal with in their everyday life. And, you know, when you're fighting, you don't just learn how to hit, you know, throw a good punch. You got to learn how to block their punches if you want to not get beat up. Now, so you got to do that when you're fighting the devil. Now, the most obvious question would be, after you read these scriptures, is how do you wrestle with a spirit that you can't see and you can't grab a hold of? Verse 19, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, that's your answer right there. You wrestle with evil spirits in prayer. You pray until your faith is stirred up, and you just keep it up. You just keep praying. You pray fervently. And as you pray and get in faith, you will start to engage these evil spirits. Now, I've learned this by experience. So that's why when I read that verse 18, praying always right after, you know, wrestling, and I was praying, I started engaging spirits. I said, oh, it's right. It's written right there, because I engaged him in prayer, and that's how you do it. And you'll wrestle with these spirits. And let me tell you something. This is an ongoing battle, And it's important you know this, because if you pray a little while and you wrestle with the devil, and then you go back and you have some of the same problems you had before, you're still having a problem with guilt or fear, or you're bound up this way, you can't seem to get your faith stirred up. You say, well, I wrestle with the devil and I still have this problem. Yeah, but like I said, overcoming sin is like peeling one layer of sin off at a time. Overcoming the devil and taking possession of your soul, you do it little by little. Driving the devil away from you, do it little by little. So sometimes you can't tell you're making ground. And that's one of the things the devil wants to do, is make you think you're not getting anywhere and then get you to give up. So, you know, and see, here's another example. When armies go out into battle, they don't just win one battle and the war's over. You keep winning battle after battle, driving the enemy out of your land. And you know what? In the land, and what we're talking about here is our land, is our soul and our body. And we wrestle with these spirits. We fight these spirits. You know, Paul said he was not one that beateth the air. You know what he was saying when he prayed? He was led by the Spirit and he hit the enemy. See? And you'll learn that. I've had times where I was praying. I knew I was in the Spirit. I knew I was being led by the Spirit, and I'd speak the word of God. I had times where I was praying and I would just turn to my left or turn to my right, pouring into Spirit and start speaking to it. And I could tell I hit my enemy. And this stuff works, folks. But you have to be led by the Spirit in your prayer. When are you led by the Spirit? When you get in faith. You start getting in faith. You start praying until you bring your soul under subjection to you. Start moving in the Spirit, and your prayers will be effective. You'll start overcoming these spirits that have had a hold on you. Look at Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. You have to take possession of your soul. You have to drive the devil away from you. You have to break his hold off you in one area after another. This is what I'm talking about. Taking possession of your soul. Driving the devil away from you, and you take possession and submit another one area of your heart and your life over to God more and more. So you win a battle, you hold on to that ground, then you gain some more ground. You know, when God led Moses and then Joshua to go in and possess the land of Canaan, the promised land, they had to kill 31 kings and drive the inhabitants of the land out of Canaan so they could take possession of the promised land. And see, the inhabitants of the land are representation of devils or evil spirits that we have to drive out of us and away from us to go into the land. You know, and like I said earlier, I've been going back over the Word of God to find out what's keeping me back from walking in the Spirit better. What is keeping me back from the power of the devil, not the power of the devil, from the power of God working in me better? Why do I still have problems with guilt? And you know what? I have to go back and say, you know what, Scott? Remember, you overcome, just like you overcome one sin after another, you overcome the law little by little. I'll tell you one thing. I know for sure that I don't near have the problem of guilt that I used to have. So I'm overcoming the law. When it talks about the law of Moses, it says blotting out the handwriting of ordinances again. That was what Jesus did on the cross. I still hear preachers saying this. That's blotting out what was written against us. Offenses that God had against us for breaking the law. No, it's blotting out the very law against us, not just what we've done wrong. It's blotting out the law. The law is what's against us. The law is what makes us sin. If you don't get rid of the law at erasing your heart, you'll still have a problem with it stirring up sin in you. It says the law is the strength of sin. It says the law of Moses, what makes you sin more. By the law, sin abounds. All these things are written. The fifth chapter, it makes sin abound. Seventh chapter, it works all manner of concupiscence in you. 1 Corinthians 15:56, it says the law in your heart makes sin stronger. See, so it's the blotting out of the handwriting that is the law. Blotting means erasing. The more you believe, the more it's erased. So, you know, I'm speaking this in my own heart. I don't, and the law is what's made me guilty. The more I believe, the more you believe, the more the law is erased. Thank God. And the more it's erased, the less problem we have guilt. We also know that as we're brought to repentance, we can escape the law and its race. So it's repentance, it's believing in the gospel, it's wrestling with the devil. We come out of all this stuff. See, I don't teach others without practicing walking in the Word and the Spirit myself. But, you know, everything keeps coming back to me that, you know, or what keeps coming back to me is I need to fight more and fight harder. And it is the powers of the devil keeping me from moving in the power of God. You know, it says the kingdom of God suffer violence and the violent take it by force. The devil doesn't want you moving in the power of God. I have to overcome the powers of the devil to get the blessings of God and the honor of God that God has for me and to launch my ministry. See, Jesus didn't start his ministry until he overcame the devil in the wilderness. So he's my example. So, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm encouraging myself. And if it encourages you, thank God. Now, I think I'm going to spend the rest of this podcast. I want to go over a post I post on Facebook today because I think this will help people very much. And I think this will be very beneficial for people to get a hold of this truth. There are two ways that the Word of God talks about bringing a person to repentance when he sinned, because repentance is an ongoing thing and we need to be brought to repentance. The first is that godly sorrow causes a person to repent, have a change of heart, and not want to do that wrong anymore. Okay? It's a godly sorrow. The second way to bring people to repentance is a worldly sorrow. And a worldly sorrow is nothing but guilt. And trying to make a person feel guilty for sin does not lead them to repentance. It works death in them. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 7:10, New International Version. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. See? And leaves no regret. See? No regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Okay? The law of Moses gives the knowledge of sin and makes the whole world guilty for God. This is the worldly sorrow. Everybody feels bad when they trespass the law of Moses. See? So, this is one of the things that I believe ministers have missed it about, and I've watched it all my life. They're always trying to shame you about your sin and always trying to make you feel guilty about sin. All right? And it's the law of Moses in their heart. It's the law of Moses trying to make people guilty. I believe this is a worldly sorrow, and it works death. Now, of course, we shouldn't trespass the law of Moses, but trying to keep the law of Moses won't change your heart. Okay? Look at Romans 3:19. And I'm going to tell you, as you keep going over these things over and over, it becomes clearer and clearer. Now, we know that what things of the law saith, it's the law of Moses, is saved to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. See what happens when you're under the law? It shuts your mouth. You know you're guilty. It brings guilt to you. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, if God used guilt to bring people to repentance, then why didn't he keep the law in place? You say he did. No, he didn't. Galatians 3:24. Let's read that. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Say, the law of Moses is called a schoolmaster here, and it says we're no longer under it when we come to Christ. Is that simple enough? The good news, the gospel, is that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead to justify. And our attitude toward God should be, Lord, work in us a godly sorrow so we can be brought to repentance and no longer want to do things that are displeasing you. In the Word of God, and you know what's great about that? It says the Word of God says, when God is finished with us, we will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, I know that's in the context of fiery trials. This plays a part too, but in transforming us. But I'm just telling you, when you're brought to repentance, when you wrestle with the devil, when you walk after the Spirit of God and as God is changing you, you will be made perfect, entire, wanting nothing. See? James 1:4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. See, that's talking about going through temptations. You know, I'll tell you this. It never did make sense to me that as a Christian, you couldn't do things you wanted to do, and you had to keep doing things you didn't like to do. And I thought, and this is the good news? What? You know, forgive us of our sins? Thank God. Set us free from sin? Thank God. But always, you know, always wanting to, we still wanted to do things, and we couldn't do them, and we didn't want to do things, but we had a problem doing it. I thought, you know, what good news is that? But the good news is that through the work that Jesus did on the cross, which he reconciled us to God, he made us a brand new person. But, you know, of course, that wasn't all at once. We have to continue in the faith. But as that work of grace is done in our life, then we get to more and more where we walk in harmony with God, where we don't want to do wrong things, and we want to do what pleases God. And as all this has worked out, we're happy. See, blessed is the man, happy is the man that trusteth in God. You know, and when you're changed to where you believe God, walk in faith, you'll be a happy person. When you get to where, you know, you're transformed, it says your heart will be like the deer that panteth after the water. Your soul will pant after God. You'll want the things of God. You know, thank God. So let me check for time here, see where we're at. Yeah, this is good. So I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. And I hope it's been an encouragement to you. I know that the things that I've taught, the things that I walk in, have worked. There has been transformation in my life. I have to watch myself because I can get discouraged because I'm still not walking like Jesus walked. There's certainly not to the degree that he walked. And the Word of God clearly says, he that abideth in Jesus ought to walk even as he walked. And I've read that for many years, and that's available for all of us. And I'm going to keep going until I get there. And I encourage you to continue in the faith, because God is, and you know, I heard this minister the other day say something about the three ministries, apostle, prophet. No, the apostle, not even the apostle. Let's get this right. The teacher, pastor, evangelist. And he didn't believe there's an apostle prophet. Well, my question to you is, well, who's going to lay the foundation? And my question to you is, Paul said he was a wise master builder, and he laid the foundation. And it was clearly what he was building was the hearts of men and women, making a new creature out of them. That's 1 Corinthians 3:9-10. So how are people to get their hearts changed without an apostle prophet? I want to encourage every one of you. You know, there's every time I get into these, I have to watch myself. The pressure will almost make me numb in my brain, makes me dull, and it's easy to lose my train of thought. I have to press hard to keep on point, and I can't even remember what I was saying a minute ago. It's crazy, the pressure. But anyway, thank God. I just give thanks for everyone. If there's any person out there that has not received the Lord Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to receive the Lord right now. Just say this prayer after me. All you got to do to be saved, be born again, and that you can interchange that in the scripture, being saved and being born again. It's just receive the Lord. So say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. I receive you as my Lord, my Savior. And I confess you as Lord. I thank you that you died for me. You were buried and you were raised from the dead to justify me. If you said that prayer and you meant it, Spirit of Christ has entered into you and God has begun a work in you. But you have to continue to hold fast to the gospel for that salvation to continue to work in you. You could go back on to destruction, but the more you continue in the faith, the more you'll be established in the faith, and less likely of you ever going back. So, thank God for every person out there.
I shall not be moved, just like a tree that
that's planted by the water.